Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
A juror swore under oath that the Colleton County Clerk of Court made her feel like Alec Murdaugh was guilty before deliberations even started. She had doubts. She voted to convict anyway. Former Chief Justice Jean Toll heard all of it and ruled that's not quite enough. She punted it down to the South Carolina Supreme Court. And, well, that game just ended. And the score is 5-0. And Alec Murdaugh won. Not a close call at all. But on who carries the burden of proof? It's going to happen. Alec Murdaugh is 99.9% likely to get a new trial. We're here to talk about that in three different segments this morning. We're going to dive into how Alec Murdaugh is getting a new trial, the logistics that put us here, what may still stand from the first trial, because it's not always just a carbon copy repeat, and this is not going to be the same thing here either, and what new elements may come in, and how the retrial is going to be different. We're going to get into all of that this morning. Here to help us break all that down, Eric Faddis, defense attorney and former prosecutor, and of course, my co-host Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Welcome, gentlemen, as always this morning. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you, Eric, because there's so many legal things involved here. Supreme Court said Jean Toll, the judge who, for those of you playing along at home, there was another hearing after the murder. It was an appellate hearing, and Toll could have made the choice of, well, let's have another trial. She said, no, I don't think so. And the appeals continued to another court, which brought it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court saying Toll put the burden on Murdaugh to prove prejudice when the law requires the opposite. So they're saying former judge looked the wrong way, put the wrong burden of proof on the wrong person. And that's why it's now taken all the way to the Supreme Court for someone to say, yeah, he really should get a new trial. Let's go back to that where this began, and try to understand, how does a judge get it so backwards, or is it more of a count of accountability and not wanting to have the sticker of "I gave Alec Murdaugh a new trial" attached to her name? Where do you think that went,
Tony? You know, sometimes judges have reached a conclusion in their mind, and then they conduct the legal analysis and they try to sort of tailor it and steer it in the direction of the conclusion that they've already come to. And I can't help but wonder if that was at play here. Look, Alec Murdaugh was a very unpopular homicide defendant accused of killing his wife and child, convicted. And I think the judge wanted to secure that finality sort of by any legal analysis possible, and perhaps that factored into her wrongful conclusion that a new trial wasn't warranted. It clearly was. The Supremes have affirmed that.
Does it make a difference at all, ultimately, in a juror's mind, because this is going to go back to a jury at some point when we have a new trial, who made that call? Who punted it? Who said, we're going back, it's another game, we're starting over at the beginning? Does it make a difference that it wasn't Jean Toll that said that, but it was like the highest court in the land that says, this is screwed up, he deserves a new trial? Is it almost more... Does it help the defense? Does it hurt the defense? Does it do anything to the defense, judging by who is the authority figure saying, no, rules were not followed here?
Well, Well, you know, thank heavens, Tony. That's why we have this checks and balances system, even within the judicial branch itself, whereby if a lower judge makes a wrong ruling, that is going to be scrutinized by a higher court. And so the highest court in that jurisdiction determined in a flawless victory for Murdoch here. And certainly it gives them momentum. It probably lifts their spirits in terms of what this second trial could be like. And so in those senses, it does confer benefits to defense. So and other of course, the new trial is the massive benefit.
Yeah. And I'm curious about that. So other than not having the court clerk undermine your entire prosecution because of her greed, basically, what do you think is going to be different in a second trial?
Oh, gosh, a lot of things, Robin. I think that the types of evidence that the prosecution can present, the Supremes were rather critical of some of those categories of evidence. They think the prosecution went overboard on the financial crime stuff, which is oftentimes a ground on which these convictions are reversed. I saw from the very beginning that, hey, they're doing too much other acts evidence with the financial stuff, not focusing enough on the homicide trial. So that's going to be a lot different. We might see some different defenses from Murdoch as well. So things the game can really change here during round two.
So go ahead, Tony.
And I want to get into the details, of what's going to change here, what's going to be different in our next segment. So I want to dive into that there. But Hill never explicitly told jurors, that Murdaugh was guilty. That's important to note. Obviously, Becky Hill is who I'm talking about. She was the clerk of court where all of this is, surrounding on the genesis of Murdaugh retrial, number two here. She said, don't be fooled. Watch his movements. Don't let the defense confuse you. The court said that was functionally the same as directing a verdict. Does this ruling, does the actions of the clerk of court, does this, are the effects of this going to be felt in every courtroom in South Carolina where you may kind of have a more of a good old boy way of doing things? Well, it's how we do it over here. We do it like this. There's a little more fast and loose with the rules. Do you think that this kind of puts all those places on a bit of notice of, yeah, we can't really operate like that anymore?
In other words, how common is Becky?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it surely sends that message because, look, in some of these more rural jurisdictions and smaller jurisdictions, everybody knows everybody oftentimes. And, there's conversations that are had when the court's on a break, when the jury is leaving for lunch and the court clerk's escorting them out. It's not complete silence, right? So I think this is sort of a warning to everybody who works for the government on these cases that, hey, you cannot even to the slightest degree exert any sort of influence over these cases. And if you do, we're gonna run it back and it's gonna be, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to do this again. And also, the victims' families in other cases are going to be prejudiced by it. So I think it's a strong message.
What do you think the likelihood of them switching venue is gonna be?
I think certainly something the defense is going to request. And I think the likelihood is reasonably high because they're going to say not only does everyone in this smaller jurisdiction know about this case and probably has views about this case based on what they heard in the media. But on top of that, there was just so much misconduct that took place within this jurisdiction. It is sort of soiled forever in that sense with respect to this case. And defense is going to say, hey, that's why we got to take it somewhere else, completely brand new jurisdiction.
Now, I'm curious too, Eric. The first thing, and Tony, I apologize if I'm jumping ahead.
You're
on
good.
A segment. I'm not quite sure. So the first thing I looked up when I saw this hit the news wire was, all right, oh my God, is he still going to stay in jail? And yeah, because it doesn't impact, at least on the surface yet, what he pled to on the financial crime side, which again, if that stands, will keep him in jail for the rest of his life unless he becomes immortal in some way. And so does this impact that at all? Or is he still most likely staying behind behind bars forever, or is that going to impact that sentencing or even that trial?
I don't anticipate this ruling having a direct impact on the other financial crimes cases, convictions, or sentences. I'm just not sure that defense is going to be able to tie this misconduct within this homicide trial to, you know, a guilty plea that resulted in decades in prison. But stranger things have happened. You know, there could be some creative litigation.
I was wondering that too, because I mean, yeah, it was a totally separate trial, but that trial happened after the murder trial. And that being said, the reason for Alec Murdaugh pleading guilty in that case, I think one could argue, was because of all of the financial crimes that were exposed in the criminal murder trial, that it was like, yeah, there's no way around this. Like you have to now plead guilty. I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, there's not really a path forward. And the Supreme Court here is saying you can still introduce some of the financial stuff in trial number two, but 12 days was excessive. So you gotta reel that in a little bit. I don't know if there's a mechanism for it, but is there any mechanism where one could say, yes, he did in fact plead guilty, Your Honor? And obviously the evidence shows the fuck that he did. But is there any world where that could be reversed because of the errors of trial number one, which then influenced his decision to plead guilty for this other trial, the financial crimes trial? Is there a road there? Is there a road to say, yes, but for this decision, I wouldn't have done this, and then, you know, these dominoes wouldn't have fallen either. I don't know. I mean,
I was curious about that too, just because it seems so strategic when they did that and played on that one. It's like, do they know something we don't know of what they're going to try to do and what they probably are going to do? So I'm right with you on that question, Tony.
Very astute observation, and some creative attorneys could get creative on that front. You know, they could essentially argue, hey, when he pled guilty to the financial crimes, it was based on these circumstances, including that all of the financial crimes evidence, most a lot of it had come in during the homicide trial, and he was convicted in the homicide trial, and he's going to go to prison forever. So, gosh, why not throw in the towel and just try to move forward? But the circumstances on which that decision was based have materially changed. A person who is now not condemned for the rest of their life to spend it in prison based on a homicide conviction, that's gone. And so he might think he was wrongfully convicted on the homicide front, but you know, I'm going to be in prison forever, so I might as well plead guilty to these things. Well, now I'm not going to be in prison forever necessarily, based on the new trial in the homicide case. And so could that be grounds for withdrawing a plea on the financial crimes? It's sort of circuitous and attenuated, but a defense attorney might make that argument.
Wouldn't they argue, though, like with so many things, that, well, if he was not guilty, he had to at least try to argue that, you know, like we see it, you know, with the Delphi situation right now, where they're going through the appeals and it's like, well, that should have been argued earlier. You can't necessarily go back and bring this up now. That certainly, I think, would be an argument here. But I'm just wondering, has anything like that ever happened in the past? Have you ever seen a case where, okay, A plus B happened over here, and then they made their decision for game number two this way based on the findings of that game, but that game's now ruled invalid, so those choices, they're all up in the air. I mean, you can't go back in time. Has this ever happened, anything like this?
You know, no similar case comes to mind that is in this type of a posture. And look, when it comes to guilty pleas, buyer's remorse is not a good enough reason to withdraw a guilty plea.
Yeah,
and, buyer's remorse.
You know,
I'm looking it up right now too.
At the time, and you know, now you're kicking yourself for making that decision. That's not going to be enough. But is a substantial change in circumstances? You know, he might argue to the court that, hey, we pled guilty on the financial stuff because the whole world already saw the alleged evidence supporting it. I'm going to get convicted no matter what. But the whole world shouldn't have seen that evidence. It wouldn't have colored the impressions of future jurors. And therefore, we want another go around at this financial crime stuff, too. It's at least possible.
I'm looking it up. I'll tell you when it comes in.
What about Becky? Let's talk about Becky with the good hair. wait, that's not the right Becky. This Becky, Becky Hill, obviously, she's had her own charges against her. One count of obstruction of justice, one count of perjury, two counts of misconduct in office. She pled guilty to those charges in 2025. Now that the Supreme Court has really come through and said, yeah, you really effed up royally, Becky, we have to now give Alec Murdaugh a new trial and the millions of dollars that is going to cost the state and everything involved in this. Where does that leave Becky? I mean, is there any, is there new exposure for Becky now that the Supreme Court has gone this far? I mean, is there exposure for her on various levels, any level? If what are your thoughts, Eric?
There is. In most jurisdictions, a civil tort, so a civil claim called abuse of process, it's usually brought against prosecutors or police who are misusing the judicial system to wrongfully harm somebody. Could that apply to a court clerk who, you know, stuck her nose in this whole thing and messed up two homicide convictions? And if so, who would bring that claim? Would it be Murdaugh? You know, that would be an unusual course of action, but I think it's at least possible that there could be additional exposure on that front. And also her reputation is completely ruined for the rest of her life.
And another thing, just ruining her reputation more, does it, as an attorney, does it make any sense to sue her civilly if there's not much to collect? I'm sure there's probably not a lot left, much left, if there ever was anything to begin with from the, you know, the book, the book that she lifted from others. So there's probably not a lot there to take. It doesn't make any sense other than on a principle type way of looking at this.
You know, getting really into the legal weeds on this, but Becky Hill was she might not be collectible, she might not have any significant assets, but she was working in the course and scope of her employment for the government. Now, if you bring a claim against the government, they have qualified immunity, but usually qualified immunity doesn't stand if the person, the governmental official, violated a statutory or constitutional law. And if Becky Hill deprived Murdaugh of a fair trial, that's violating his constitutional rights, which might be able to sidestep the qualified immunity piece.
So they could sue Colleton County, basically.
But potentially,
For having, because she's their employee. So it's like a company being sued because a bad employee does something
culpability
bad.
Culpability for their lack of training and their execution of their training and what they're really expecting to do. And also on the lookup, the likelihood of him being able to withdraw that that plea is like slim to none.
There's an interesting thought. Colleton County may end up paying Alec Murdaugh.
Well, if you think about it, again, I don't know, like Eric does, the law on this, but, you know, it's like when the ship goes down, the captain's blamed, you know, so if you're not going to go after her because there's nothing to gain, you know, and if you want to really, because you could actually say, I want to just change the system. I want to ensure the system's operating fairly so it's not looking like retribution against Becky, but you want to go against the system that created a Becky to prevent other Beckys from happening. That, you know, I think that resonates more with a public as well than it would be going against, you know, greedy Becky.
Yeah, I mean, I see like the comments like Hill should be paying for the prosecution. Hill doesn't have the money to pay for the prosecution. Like,
I think she sold like five books before it got shut down.
Even when you are a popular author, it's usually not like get rich quick schemes here. Like, there's not a lot of money in books.
No.
So, I mean, just I don't think people are aware of that. Like, they're like, you have a book, you must make like, no, it doesn't pay well. So, I mean, I'm wondering. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought of where this may land. Wouldn't it be great if she shows up in the courtroom just as an observer of Alec Murdaugh trial number two? Maybe she can sell like taquitos out front or something exciting. to a little stand, you know, like Becky's Hot Dogs and More. You know, she also sells and more. And the more actually is brakes. She says she does brake jobs for people. So you can bring up your car. They'll replace your brakes. You get a hot dog and then you go in and watch.
I know it's digressing, but that's what you do as these state and government employees. Years ago, before they actually adjusted the cost of living and adjustments in New York, there was an agent in the New York City field office that during the day and on weekends, he had a hot dog cart attached to the back of his bureau vehicle. So he's selling hot dogs because the salaries are so low.
And that's so disturbing. When you've told me these stories, I'm like, oh my God.
I had side hustles to get enough
security.
Yeah, I had side hustles to sell used books on Amazon so I could get enough money so I could pay my sources not to take them out to lunch.
And you're a great, motivated, ethical human being, and you did it all. You know, but what about those folks who aren't motivated, aren't ethical?
Robert Hansen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, holy shit. Like, this could go sideways really quick. Anyway, your thoughts.
We digress.
In the comment section on Substack and YouTube, I'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.